You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
It is just after 9 o'clock, and yes, this is time for the Home Improvement Show. Dan in for Ken. Joined in studio by Walter Assey, president of Renovco. Hello.
Hello.
And I'm sure that you and Ken have talked about it, but Best of Montreal, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I think that's pretty awesome.
And I have really all of the Montrealers to thank for this. I mean, it's them that voted this great honor, and we really thank them from the bottom of our heart.
Well, they are voting because they appreciate the work that you do.
Thank you.
And we appreciate the work that you do here on this program. And you wanted to start off talking about, I know that you spoke about frozen pipes with Ken, and then there's another topic that people don't necessarily think about: wet, heavy snow on the roofs.
That's correct. Now, I want to touch on what we spoke about last week.
Yeah.
Just to kind of bring us into what's going to happen potentially this week.
Yeah.
So last week we talked about frozen pipes because obviously the weather was crazy. We had minus 42 and pipes were freezing in different homes. And we said that really where you have to pay attention is when the weather gets milder.
Mm-hmm.
So we were kind of looking at the following day, which was Sunday. And sure enough, that's when the calls start coming in.
Yeah.
Frozen pipes all over the city. Now, the reason being is when the temperature gets milder, the freezing pipes melts and expands, and then that's when the pipes burst.
Yeah.
So in certain cases, people heard us when we said, okay, if you're opening your faucet and no water is coming out, that means you have a frozen pipe. Make sure you get a blow dryer or some type of heat or call a plumber in certain cases to sew it out, because if not, there's a very good chance it will burst. A lot of the calls that we got were people that heard this advice, but didn't do anything about it. So they were there was a regret element there. So what we're trying to do a lot of the time is look at the weather patterns and determine what should be done preemptively before we, have to face a situation. So now the situation with the weather pattern, yeah, it's great, it's mild, but it's also raining, and it's raining a lot for February.
Mm-hmm.
So it brings us to another problem that could potentially cause even more serious issues than burst pipes. Why? Because it's creating dense snow on top of the roof, which is adding the load to the existing snow on the roof by 3 times.
Okay.
Sometimes even in certain cases, 4 times.
Yeah.
Okay? So on an average, according to the National Research Council of Canada, a roof should withstand about 21 pounds per square foot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? A foot of snow, fluffy snow, is about 4 pounds per square foot. This is important because, so people can do their calculations and they can go and evaluate the risk afterwards. Now, when that snow, that foot of snow, becomes packed or wet snow, it goes up to 12.5 to 13 pounds a square foot. That's very important. You multiply that by 2, now you're above your limit because technically 21 pounds of pressure, that's the national code. Alberta is 22, just to be more precise. That means 2 pounds is equivalent of two feet of wet snow.
Yeah.
2 feet to 2.5 feet of wet snow.
And anyone who's shoveled that off in the driveway or walk, understand how heavy that
Correct.
Is.
Correct. So now I'm just going to touch. This is important that we take the time. I know there's some callers waiting and what have you, but it's really important. So what I'm trying to say is once we have 2 feet of wet snow accumulated somewhere on the roof, now we're above the limit of most roofs. Now, if you look at the roofs that we evaluated, there's ones that are withstanding 21 all the way to 40 pounds of pressure, depending on the structure and everything else.
Yeah.
But there are older roofs that are not designed that way.
Right.
And there are certain roofs that the trusses were not made by truss company. Let's be frank. There's some contractors. They want to, expedite the job. So they do this man-made type of a roofing system by which they do it manually. So there's not a lot of thought put out in there, okay? So on an average, we look at the roofs now, and we say, it looks like I don't have more than 1 foot of snow spread over my roof.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of good news because, yes, it's high. 12 pounds of if you want pressure on my roof is the equivalent of 3 pickup trucks on your roof added weight.
Oh my gosh!
Okay,
yeah.
So just to give you an idea, but if you look at the roof lines, and that's very important, where the wind tunnels are, or depending on the angle of the roof line, you will see more snow accumulated in certain areas that are bringing us above those 2 feet of wet snow that we're worried about.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of how the wind blows the snow, or how sometimes the snow kind of, you know, moves from one area to
yes.
another because of the wind. So that's what I need everybody to look at. Now is the time. It's -2. It's good. Tomorrow it's going to get milder. Next week it's going to rain. So the more rain, the more heavy it is. Okay.
Yeah.
And what does that do? In certain cases, you're going to have roof collapsing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you hear about, you know, temples. Now we're hearing about more temples because we're not there yet. But if we get to that breaking point, that's when you're going to start hearing about a roof collapsing here, a roof collapsing there, or cracks in the roof, or so on and so on and so forth, broken trusses, and so on and so forth. The roof structure is being tested with these types of weather patterns.
Yeah.
Preemptively. Now, what do we do? If you have any doubt, okay, you can, if you are manual and you know what you do, you could take the snow out yourself, the load, in specifically in these areas that we're talking about, not necessarily the whole roof, but the areas where you see, okay, there is an important snow accumulation. If you're not, and it's because it's not an easy job when it's packed snow, it's heavy, it's dangerous, you could have multiple things occur, then you could call roofers.
Okay.
Because
yeah,
in the
important.
Winter, that's what they do.
Yeah.
They are not busy. So they go and they're used to heights and they know how to protect themselves and what have you.
And they know what they're doing.
That's correct.
Is it more of a problem on a flat roof than on a sloped roof?
It is. It could be because of the fact that there's nothing that is sloping away the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really want to concentrate on is try to get to that drain. Okay.
Yeah.
Make sure that drain is not obstructed, so this extra water melting is going somewhere.
Yeah.
So you don't have like a snowing, swimming pool effect on top of your roof.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean it's a homework for everyone to do. It's a beautiful day to go out and look. Don't go up on the on the roof if you're not able. Even get a small measuring tape if you're not sure, and kind of gauge it this way.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm just giving general guidelines. Now, the general guidelines is every foot of fluffy snow is about 4 pounds of weight per square foot. It's about 12 pounds per square foot in the case of wet snow.
Mm-hmm. And if people are thinking, oh, well, it's raining, that'll wash the snow away.
It's going to make it heavier.
It's going to make it heavier.
Okay. So it's just something that we really have to watch in the next couple of days.
The good thing about hiring a roofer, and correct me if I'm wrong, I've heard it said that if you're going to clean the snow off your roof, you don't want to go right down to the actual bare roof. You want to leave a thin line of snow?
Correct. Now, the reason being is you don't want to damage the shingle, or in the flat roof, you don't want to damage the membrane.
Yeah.
And because usually you're not, I mean, when you're breaking ice, you're using picks to break the ice. Mm-hmm. You're not using anything that's plastic or anything like that. In most cases, the intervention of the roofers is to break off the ice from the roof. So they're using if you want, blunt instruments that could cause damage to the roof. Now, a roofer knows the angle. They know the direction. Usually they do, at least. And they are very mindful of what type of damage they might cause to the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can bring a manual guy, a handy guy to do it for you. If they don't know what they're doing, they can cause you more damage than the actual reason you're cleaning up the snow in the first place.
All right. We do have calls. Both of them have to do with roofs. One from Heidi, one from Natalie. We will get
not
them.
Not surprised.
Absolutely. We'll get to them in just a couple of moments.
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
All right, let's go right to the calls. We'll start it off in San Michel. Good morning, Natalie.
Oh, good morning.
Morning.
How are you?
Very well. How are you?
I'm a little worried.
Tell us why.
I've got, there was an addition put onto the house of two rooms, and we decided to put in a low slope roof.
Mm-hmm.
The roof slopes, you know, downward, but it also slopes down to a point on the bottom end. So it slopes two ways. It slopes down and it slopes from the top down and to a point.
Mm-hmm.
And it overhangs the exterior wall of the room
mm-hmm.
by a good foot.
Yeah.
Now I've got a huge ice dam, and I got something to throw on the roof that would melt the ice dam,
mm-hmm.
Which is good,
mm-hmm.
I thought, and I've knocked down icicles and all that, but there's still quite a bit of ice up there. And yesterday I started to get leaking in the windows.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the roof was collapsing or the wall or, you know, something. But because it froze, I see that the window, it's a big picture window, it's wood. There are icicles on top of it, and my dad removed the gutters. So there are no gutters. And it looks to me like the ice dam is melting and it's dripping on the overhang and on the outside wall and on the wooden windows and coming into the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, should I keep throwing stuff up there or should I get somebody to do something? But isn't it dangerous? There's a lot of ice up there.
Okay, so why did you decide to do a low or a slow slant? A slow type of roof. You said you decided to do it. So it almost sounds like...
Yeah, to have a cathedral ceiling.
Okay.
It's not insulated, I don't think. I mean, I was much younger then.
Oh, it's an older type of an extension?
Yes.
Okay. So it's maybe not the word not insulated. It could be what you call a hot attic type.
It has no attic.
Yeah, but there's no insulation whatsoever?
Not that I know of, no.
Okay, I mean, that would be a bit weird not to have insulation because you don't want your... If it's a four season, that is. If it's three seasons, it's another story. But if it's a four season, you don't want the hot air from the inside to meet the cold air from the outside because that will make the snow melt.
Mm-hmm.
Rapidly accumulate where the gutters are, where the soffit ends or begins, and then you're going to have that ice damming that we're talking about.
Okay, because that addition was put on like in 1960.
Yeah.
So now, I don't know if they knew much about it then.
Okay, so I mean multiple things. Number one, yes, if you have an ice dam that is creating for you water infiltration, which is obvious in your case, now what you want to do is you want to get rid of that ice dam to minimize the damage because
yeah.
The more you have it with hydrostatic pressure, the more water is going to come in. And the fact that you receive the gutters should help for sure because now there's nowhere where the gutter is freezing and then building up through the roof. But having said that, if you find that there's a lot of ice accumulation, yes, it is dangerous, especially if it's a higher roof. That's what roofers are there for. They're used to being on high altitudes. They know how to maneuver a roof. They have liability insurance, which is very important for you. You don't want to get sued if you just hire a guy from the street.
Mm-hmm.
And they know what they're doing not to create damage on the roof itself. Now, the other thing that you might want to do and entertain for next year so you don't have to play that cat and mouse game for the rest of your life,
mm-hmm.
An easy fix would be in those particular problematic areas to put heated wires. And what I recommend is not the ones that you turn on and off yourself, but the ones that have a sensor and it's a temperature sensor.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
So as soon as the temperature falls below a certain point, automatically they turn on, mm-hmm. and then they turn off, obviously, when it's above zero. So you don't kind of have them heating the whole winter for no reason. So it gets, it's like a thermostat, if you wish. The reason we're saying that is because the ones that don't have that feature tend to break down a lot. So you tend to, and, you know, by the time you realize it broke down, there's water infiltration in your house again.
Yeah.
So that's very important. It is ugly to look at. It's not the most aesthetic thing, but you know what? Hey, it's better than having buckets of water in your extension.
Is that safe? Like, if I wanted to climb up onto that roof in the summertime and, you know, check things?
I mean, it's safe for anybody that is capable of doing it. If you had hip surgery or you're not, you know, I wouldn't recommend it. But, you know, that's a personal choice. You know your physical capability. You know how agile you are. I mean, there's a lot of points. Walking on roof, I mean, this is one profession that I have a lot of respect for. I mean, I respect everybody in the construction trade.
Mm-hmm.
But I've walked in roofs in my life, and I tell you, in certain cases, when you're 45 foot up in the air on high structures and on a high slope roof, it takes a lot of physical stamina.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be physically strong because you're standing for 6, 7, 8 hours mm-hmm. on a slant.
On a slant, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Working, removing shingles, demolishing, and what have you. So in certain roofs with very heavy slope, I would not do it. I would not do it. It's very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, I was just wondering because it's not high up, this roof. It's like the first story.
Yeah. It's a personal choice. Look, when it comes to safety, everybody knows their limits. So, I mean, if you just had hip surgery and you're doing it, I'll tell you don't do it because obviously,
yes,
you know.
It's dangerous.
Yeah, but I
no,
mean.
But I was just wondering what happens if I happen to touch one of these wire things.
Nothing. They're not supposed
nothing?
To. Not, if you install them, you're not supposed to. They're perfectly safe. But get them installed by an electrician, super important.
There you go.
Because these things, when inadequately installed, tend to, in certain cases, cause some fires.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
Is there a particular company that makes these? Or
any electrician would have them. There's a lot of brands out there. You know, electricians usually shop from Lumen or Franklin Empire. They have a whole bunch. So they should be perfectly safe, you know, as long as the installation is adequately done. But make sure it's an electrician. It's very, very, very important, not a handyman. Because I've seen cases where it's a handyman that installed it and things were not as good as they should. Didn't turn out to be very nice.
Natalie, I hope that helps. We do got to go. We do got to run.
Okay, thank you so much. Have a great day. You're both are absolutely wonderful. I thank you so much.
Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
514-790-0800, Star Talk on Bell Mobility. And you can also call long distance, 1-800-491-CJD. And don't forget, you can also text your questions in for Walter Assey at 514-800. It is the Home Improvement Show. I know that Heidi's waiting and some other calls are coming in. Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800. More of your calls and questions coming up on the other side of the 930 news.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Let's go right back to the phones. Heidi, thank you so much. I'm so sorry we made you wait so long.
That's okay. I'm looking at the sunshine. I hope you're all well. Okay, I played a little bit with my snow rake. That's not it. I'm looking for a year ahead. With Walter, with Renovco, you have more clout than any of our homeowners. Can there not something be done that when they put a roof on the house, that there are more trusses? I don't know, more vertical, more horizontal. And what about a row of solar panels at the end of the roof? I know it's not for this year, but in future, because we're going to have the same thing with the hot and cold stuff coming up.
Mm.
That's a great question. I mean, we do. That's why the National Research Center of Canada have certain guidelines about...
Is there such a thing? Because you see so many roofers, and within an afternoon, zoop, it's up.
Yes, but I mean, it's up. Let me just explain how this works. It's very
okay.
important. It's not really someone that did it on a Friday afternoon and just stuck it in.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, we hire truss companies... and they have copies of the plan. Those truss companies manufacture and assemble those trusses, and those trusses are usually stamped by their structural engineer. So it's very important.
Okay. And should that be maybe looked into it and reinforced?
Yeah, well, it is. And that's why I say usually I discourage the practice of certain contractors assembling and installing their own trusses to save money and or time.
Exactly.
Okay. So that is where we run into most of the issues. Now, we've been having a weird cocktail of weather patterns. 21 pounds per square foot is a lot to take if the trusses are really adequately built. Okay. Now, that's the equivalent of about 2 to 2.5 feet of packed snow. That's a lot of snow on the roof. So it's not a bad guideline. The issue that we have sometimes is in certain roof lines that are inadequately designed, you might go over that limit, and that's where you run into problems.
And
or if the contractor did a mistake in the construction of the roof trusses, did not put all of them, God knows. Or if it's an older structure where the guidelines were a bit more flu and not as clear as they are today.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll give you an example. And we were just literally chatting about that during the break. Mm-hmm. The earthquake in Turkey happened with thousands dead, and our condolences to the families and everybody. It's a very sad situation, but I was reading up about it because, example there, it's a very seismic area with a lot of turbulence, and earthquakes are extremely common. Now, they do have very strict guidelines on how buildings should be built to withstand such earthquakes. So all the new buildings should follow these guidelines, okay? The problem that... And today I was just reading in the news, they arrested a whole bunch of general contractors because some of the new buildings collapsed. They shouldn't have collapsed. Thousands of people died because of it. So somewhere down the line, there was guidelines, but some of the contractors somehow bypassed those guidelines to make more money. Okay? Mm-hmm. So that we don't know what happened when the house was constructed. We don't know anything like that. What we know is be proactive, look at areas where you might have more accumulation than you should, and get them cleaned up. It doesn't cost much. It's a couple of hours worth of removing snow maybe. So and again, it's using common sense. Go out there and look. If you feel that, okay, look, I have a 3x3 area in my roof that is that is close to a wall, and with the wind tunnel I have that much snow packed. Well, you know that this might be a problem, and the time to act is now.
All right. I hope that helps. Thanks so much for the call, Heidi. Out to Pierrefonds on the West Island now. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how are you this morning, guys?
Good. How you doing?
Very good. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, thank you.
I've got a slight problem there. Last year, I had some water leak into my room. Mm-hmm. Had to take off the gyp rock, et cetera, et cetera. There's quite a bit of damage to the floor and whatnot. Got the roof done last year, had an extra vent put in on top. I have a semi-detached and I've got people on either side of me. I'm not an end unit.
Mm-hmm.
And I had insulation put in this year, and I had a vent put in last year on top. But I had some water leak in the other day with all the ice and whatnot. And I heard you speaking before about those coils. I had them on a few years ago, and I'm not really sure if it did anything. But what would – the roofer's come over. He's gone into my neighbor's attic yesterday. She's got issues in there. And I'm just wondering, I put back gyprock. I put rock wool in it and everything. And on purpose, I didn't putty or paint the rest of my room because I wanted to see what it was like. And sure enough, once that warm weather, cold weather, snow came, I've got, 8-foot icicles on the corner of my roof.
So what is it? What is your question?
Well, my question is actually is what could possibly be the problem? And those coils there, do you have to get, because I had these from Renault Depot or Rona or whatever, and I don't know if they really did much, but is there a specific commercial type of coil that might be workable to have it plugged in every year? Okay. I had it plugged in outside. I had the wire come down from the roof. There's plenty of, you know, and I just plugged it in every winter, left it in all winter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me ask you a question, Mark. When you did plug it, did you have any problem with water?
I did not.
Okay. So I want to just, it's a word of caution. This is a Band-Aid, meaning it's the easy way out.
Okay.
It's not, it should not be the norm. We should not be driving around Montreal looking at electric coils, electric wires over roofs. That's not really what we're preaching.
Right.
It's an easy fix to a more complicated, sometimes more complicated problem. Now, and it's very important to kind of touch on that when we are in the process of replacing the roof or doing something a bit more drastic. So let's say we don't have the budget and we're going to do something just to help until we have a budget. And we will put these for a few years, whatever. That, okay, that's fine. That helps. It could do the trick for a while. It could, potentially, not all the time. But a lot of thought have to be put in the second steps. Now, in a lot of cases that happen when there's, again, a poor design, like the lady that just called before, she have a slow-sloped roof in our weather. It's not really the best. And sometimes the attic area is not wide enough for us to put enough insulation specifically at the where the soffit and the roof meet, which means if I can get an R40, R50, technically you should get R50 there, you're prone to have thermal conductivity there, and you will have heat meeting cold, and you will have these types of problems. The idea is very simple. It's pure. You don't want the hot air and the cold air to meet. That's as simple as this. If we're able to get that, we've just won half the race. Okay. So insulation in your attic is extremely important. Well spread insulation. Again, the guidelines are R50. In the more tighter spots, don't go with fiberglass. Go with urethane. Minimum 6 inches of urethane if you can. Okay, because it doesn't require the thickness that a fiberglass would require. Ensure that your soffits are not blocked. Ensure that you have adequate ventilation, and that should do the trick. Now, in cases where we have a more serious chronic issue and certain designs in your roof are faulty and you can't even crawl in there, let alone put insulation, that's when you should plan it with your roofer when you change your roof. You should get the roofer to shim the roof, number one, to give it more, to give you more space to get into that area if possible, or at least be able to get adequate insulation in those areas. Do not just camouflage the problem. Now, I've seen cases where people put ice shield membrane throughout the whole roof. Yes, that's great. But it's not really, again, it's not recommended 100% because you want the roof to breathe. Not only that, you're not stopping the condensation in your attic. You might be stopping the water from coming in through the ice dam, but you're not stopping the condensation. Now, that condensation might not necessarily cause you a water damage, but it will cause you potentially mold in your attic. And now, you know, you sell the house, the inspector goes up there, they look, oh my God, there's mold. And then, you know, it brings you to another dimension of another problem, if you wish. So,
right. So
that's where you have a balancing act to do. Your issue might be solved with the heated wires. If you just replace the roof, something was missed, unfortunately. And I would go back to the roofer and I will see what was missed in that process.
Yeah, he was fantastic right from the time I had the water come in, which wasn't as much as before. What happened was he came right away and he put in, he was up there for a couple of hours putting insulation in. So the insulation's not a problem right now. I haven't had a problem since then.
Okay.
It's only been a week or so since I had it, and then I
But it's just, I don't want to ban. I agree 100%. And I know he did mention part of the problem was the design of this semi-detached is not great.
Yeah. that's fine. But again, it's how, unfortunately, where you're going to be stuck between a rock and a hard place is how your roofing contract was designed, was written. So a roofer essentially is only responsible for his shingles on the roof and his flashing and, you know, and the ventilation and the piping.
Right.
Anything that's coming from your attic is not your roofer's responsibility. Now, this guy went above and beyond. He put the insulation in the attic, but technically that should have been done before the roof was changed.
Yeah.
A good roofer always pokes their head in the attic. For me, if they don't do that, they're just in it for the shingles, and either they don't know enough or they don't care enough. And that, for me, both are red flags.
Yeah, one last thing.
Well, actually, Mark, I hate to do this, but we're over time for traffic, but I hope that helps.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Our remaining moments with Walter Assey of Renovco. We get right back to the phones. Good morning, Khalud.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How you doing? How can we help you?
Good. I'm putting an island in my kitchen, an existing kitchen, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm adding an island. It was an afterthought. And I want to put a plug-in for counter appliances. The issue, it's close to a sink. I understand it should be a GFCI, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And the other question is, I understand that you can put two plugs, on a 20-amp breaker, you can put two plugs. My question is, I have a fireplace, an electric fireplace that I've been using downstairs that's on its own circuit.
Mm-hmm.
Would I be able, because I only need one plug, if I would continue the circuit from the fireplace downstairs to the counter?
No.
Simple as that. Yeah.
That is simple as that. What you need is a separate, especially when it comes to a GFI plug, you need to have a separate dedicated breaker for it straight from the panel. I mean,
straight
I cannot,
from the panel.
Especially, 100%. Now, I cannot emphasize that enough. For many reasons. I mean, electric fire is one of them, water and this and that, insurance inspection, you name it, you won't pass any. So it's important. It have to be from the panel straight to the GFI. It's as simple as that.
Straight to the GFI. And
now,
that's it.
One of the things you might want to do just for the look and the efficiency is you might want to get your electrician to propose maybe a pop-out type of a plug by which you pop it in, pop it out.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. And that's for the look and everything else. And it's practical because you could use the top and the bottom part as well.
And he wouldn't be able to draw power from an existing plug on the counter, right?
No.
I had a third one. GFI, third one is again illegal.
GFI is a dedicated circuit all the way.
All the way. Very good.
All right.
That's pretty well what it was. Yep. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks for the call, Khalud. Have a good day. Going back to the idea of roofs, a listener called in, didn't want to go on the air, wanting your opinion on salt on a flat roof.
No. Sodium chloride or rock salt is extremely corrosive.
Yeah.
For roof membranes, roofing systems, gutters, soffits, vegetation around your foundation from the downspouts, you know, water, the runoff, go down to wherever plants you have, it wreaks havoc.
Mm-hmm.
Wreaks havoc on your on everything that you would have up there. So if I know it's the easiest if you want more economic way of doing things, mm-hmm. but it's probably the most expensive way of doing things with the all the potential issues that you will have out of it.
Yeah.
Because it will corrode whatever passage it passes through. So use a de-icer. That's what I would say. You know, those de-icing balls, if you wish, or anything like that.
Calcium,
you know,
or
those,
something
like that. Exactly. So this is a much better, and it's made for roofs.
Okay.
So it's more friendly, and it does not create all of these all of that domino effect that salt would cause on your roof. Again, stay away from that at all costs.
Makes all the sense in the world. Couple of other questions not having to do with roofs. Frank from LaSalle wants to know if there are any specialized installers that can add a bathroom fan in an upper level duplex. It has a brick exterior wall, I guess.
Yeah. So yeah, so we're gonna talk about that because a fan is a tricky thing. In a way, you need an electrician to give you a circuit, a switch for the fan, the wiring for the fan. But then you're gonna need this guy who's gonna make that hole in the either the exterior wall.
Yes.
Or through the roof. If we're going through the roof, you're gonna need a roofer in order to make sure it's well sealed. Mm-hmm. Preferably the same roofer that made your roof and still have, if you still have a guarantee on it.
Okay.
Why? Because anytime you puncture a new hole or you modify your roofing system, you are putting your warranty in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. Let's say water leaks in the room next door in the next couple of years. You call in your roofer, you tell, he will tell you this was not here, this is new. This was inadequately installed. You're not guaranteed your roof is not under warranty anymore. And the problem specifically in this case, it's a flat roof, is that when you have a water infiltration, it's not necessarily where the water infiltration is. It could travel under the membrane and go somewhere else.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why I would say a roofer, if you're going through the roof, okay? If you're not going through the side, well, you're going to need someone that have the skill set to, you know, to make that hole to the outside and install the clapé afterwards, and you know, the plastering and the painting and what have you. So it might be a 2 to 3 tradespeople kind of a job.
Yeah.
And that's why most of the time people would call a general contractor to do this, because, you know, they don't want to have to, if you wish, coordinate. It's a small, big job. That's the problem with it.
Yeah, okay? That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
But you do want that fan in there to take the moisture out of the bathroom.
100%. Yeah. I mean, and in cases where, you know, people tell you, I have a window. Well, the code says, even if you have a window, you need to have a fan if you want to go to the building code. And the reason being is, take last weekend, for example, minus 42. Did you really open your window when you were taking a shower and kept it open for 15 minutes? I don't think so. So, you know, and then open the window, you forget it, you go somewhere, you come back, it's minus 42, all your pipes are frozen. It's not really the ultimate solution. It helps, but it's not really the way you want to create negative pressure in order to suck the condensation out.
We got it all done, Walter. Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure.
Good to have you on. Good to thank you all for your calls and texts. Jimmy G, I could not have done this without you. Thank you so much. Stay tuned for the Car Show with Lisa Christensen coming up after your 10 o'clock news with Don Kagan Fleming. Ken is back tomorrow, the trivia show after 9 o'clock. See you tomorrow.